Our guest is going to be a very nice man by the name of Worth Dixon. Worth is an employee of D'Addario Strings, world famous, maybe the most productive company making strings in the world right now. And he also brings to Gray Fox a yurt, Y-U-R-T. You can look it up while you're waiting for the second hour of the program to begin. It's a Mongolian structure, round. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about D'Addario. You're going to have a good time listening to Worth. Wonderful fellow, and enjoyed the opportunity to talk about D'Addario and his yurt from Mongolia. Very happy to welcome the Unreal Bluegrass, Worth Dixon. How are you, Worth?
I'm doing well, Steve.
Now, Worth, I met you briefly last year at Gray Fox, and we're at Gray Fox again this year. And the reason I'm talking to you now is twofold. You're an employee of D'Addario.
That's right.
Correct? And what's your position there?
I'm a product manager of the fretted instrument strings business.
Okay. Very important to bluegrass festivals and acoustic musicians everywhere.
And they're important to us.
That's right. But we're sitting right now in something that you built last year at Gray Fox. I did not visit it because I was too wet from the rain. And I came over just now, and you're in here, and you're in a yurt. And this is your yurt, which almost sounds redundant, but two different words, your yurt. The yurt is incredibly gorgeous inside. I don't know anything about it except what I learned last year and what you're about to tell me now. So tell me about your yurt, and then we'll talk a little bit about the D'Addario, too, just to bring it around the circle.
Okay. Well, this is a traditional yurt. It was built in Mongolia, just outside of Ulaanbaatar. And the inspiration for having this made was that I used to live in Asia and became familiar with yurts while I was living over there. And after moving home, thought about it, and I said, boy, it'd be nice to have one of these to take to a bluegrass festival like Gray Fox.
And this is the only one you bring it to.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Oh, go ahead.
It's one of the closer events, but it's one of the best, so I enjoy bringing it here. But I found a fellow who lived up in Montreal who made a business out of having yurts built in Mongolia, importing them to North America, and then delivering them to his customers. And because he was focused on, you know, the traditional style of building with natural materials, if you look around, you'll see everything is natural. It's made of wood, camel hide, there's horsehair ropes,
I was gonna say,
canvas,
it's like an accordion, but in the holding the wood together, I guess, is what? Is that horsehair? Or
that's camel rawhide.
Called camel rawhide.
Mm-hmm.
So there probably are no nails in this thing.
That's right. There are no nails. So he worked with me to spec out this yurt, so it's about 20 feet in diameter. Had all the pieces built. He inspected it on site over in Mongolia, checked it out, and then put it in a shipping container, and he delivered it to my dad's farm down in Pennsylvania. So I received it there, and the first year we had it, I brought it up here to Gray Fox to set it up the first time. So that was its first
deployment. So that was last year I was here.
That was a few years previous to that.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
All right.
Following that, then I started to work for D'Addario, and last year I was working with D'Addario, and let them know, hey, guys, you know, we sponsor this event up here at Gray Fox, and I've got a yurt, and that would be a great space for us to host our artists.
And they said, you've got a yurt!
Exactly. That was kind of the reaction. Yeah, the marketing team was pretty excited about that. They realized the creative potential that it held.
It's amazing.
So, we hauled it up again last year and set it up, and I had the advantage then of working with Gray Fox, who kind of staked out this space for us right next to the Creekside Stage, which we also sponsor. And allowed me to come in a few hours early to get everything set up and in place as everyone started to arrive. So it's a cooperation between D'Addario, myself, and Gray Fox that kind of brought all these elements together to get the yurt situated right here for the event.
And we'll talk about its round structure and how that developed, but there's also a space right behind where we're sitting, and I guess you can do anything in a yurt. You can live in a yurt, but you also do some events in here with artists that may come in later on and maybe are D'Addario artists and do some performances or whatever. Is that fair?
That's right.
Yeah.
Last year, we hosted a whole series of artists through the course of the festival and basically just had some video cameras set up. And what we did in that situation was we gave each of the artists a made-up name of a song, and we asked them to improvise and write a song directly on the spot. So we did that with Steep Canyon Rangers, with the Gibson Brothers,
wow,
with Julian Lodge and Chris Eldridge. Just the lineup of talent that came through and took on that challenge
was
incredible.
Strong. That's pretty strong.
And this year, we're going to be hosting a live stream with Ear Trumpet Labs. So Ear Trumpet is providing all the backline. They're bringing their gorgeous microphones, and we'll be setting those up, and the technology to run a live stream from this location. So Gray Fox has run in Ethernet lines for us. And the, starting Thursday night, we're going to be live streaming from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock each night.
Out of the yurt.
Out of the yurt, from Gray Fox.
Ear Trumpet, by the way, has taken the world by storm.
They sure have.
And all of their microphones have names.
True.
I can't think of his name because I knew it was going to come up, but I've met him and talked to him at Raleigh at IBMA. I'm on the board of IBMA. And I'd heard of him, and I go talk to him, and you can only if you hear and see an Ear Trumpet mic can you fully get what's going on. But if you talk to him about his process, it's just, I just wanted to do this in a way that, but they can't make them fast enough.
That's right.
So your connection with Ear Trumpet is solid.
Yeah, they're great partners.
This is, I'm excited to that. I'll be doing some stuff running around Gray Fox. I'm going to try to tune in, but it's round. I got a feeling there's not an accident in the design of a yurt from a cultural point of view. Am I right on that?
You're absolutely correct. This design is about 3,000 years old, and it's been refined over the ages to become what it is today. So the round shape is very compact. It makes it a structure that can be totally collapsed and carried by several camels or maybe a couple oxen with carts. And it's also aerodynamic. So there are pretty high winds on the Mongolian plains, and the wind will break around the sides and over the top of the yurt and not just strip it away from the ground. So there are no stakes to hold it down either. It's all just based on how it's tied together and its own weight and aerodynamics that keeps it in place.
What I noticed, Worth, is in the middle there's an open space, which reminds me of not the teepee that you would find in a store for your kid, but the original teepee of the native inhabitants of this country lived in teepees, and the top was open, and they had a fire, and the smoke drafted up. There's a hole here in this yurt. Is that related to any of those issues?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, let's assume we're here in the summertime before we need a fire. So that allows warm air to pass out through the top of the yurt. So basically cool air will be drawn in through the doors, and any warm air that's generated goes out through the top. And again, you get a little bit of a venturi effect. As the wind passes over the top of the yurt, it draws air up through the top. So you get a constant convection going up through the roof hole. The second thing is, in the wintertime, you can easily set up a stove and run a stove pipe up through the roof and just cover the opening up with felts. And these can be winterized and survive very cold winters.
And you say that, as I'm looking around, the walls are very thin.
Well, you can't see the felts. There's about an inch and a half of goat hair felt outside of the canvas that you can see.
I can see the inside and I can see the outside. But so what you're saying, in the wintertime, the way this thing is designed, you can put a stove in the center and you can be comfortable in here.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. I wish people could see it, because I keep spinning around as we're talking. I keep leaving the mic in your face, but it's a round. I don't know of any other round living structures.
I suppose the teepee would be the closest.
The teepee is the closest, and maybe. And I wonder the connection between that and the hole in the top. I wonder if there's. I don't know.
Most likely, there probably was a connection in ancient times when people crossed the land bridge that brought some of those ideas to North America. The yurt is just several generations beyond a simple teepee. If you look around at the roof, it's just a series of poles that rise together and meet in the center. And that's very teepee-like. What we have here is an addition of the walls, which are kind of a lattice structure.
I said accordion because I was thinking if they club, it's a lattice structure. Yeah.
Right.
People would recognize that from their garden fences.
Exactly. They collapse just like a garden fence or a baby gate.
What are these struts or these pieces of wood that form the roof?
So it's just a series of poles. They're each about 9 feet long, and each one of them is attached to a little keyhole in that central wheel there in the center of the roof. And then the butt end is tied to the top of the lattice. And just they're individually rather slim, but when you have about 70, I think there are 72 in this design, when you have 72 of them working together, they'll support the roof and snow on top of the roof.
Now, when you put this up, did you put it up by yourself?
No, we had a team of four, myself and three folks who joined me yesterday to help set it up.
Is it possible to put it up by yourself?
That would be pretty difficult
because you have to have enough stress on the right.
Yeah, there are certain points when, for example, you need to hold the roof wheel upright on the two supporting columns. And during that time, it's a little bit unstable until you get a few of the rafters plugged into it and the ropes tightened. That's a kind of a sensitive period when you're setting up. So minimum would be two, but ideally you have four, and then you have two teams of two working around each side.
It's kind of like a keystone in one of those old stairwells. At some point, somebody's got to be there holding it, so you put the keystone in, and then they don't move anymore.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And in fact, those two upright posts, we could take them out right now if we wanted to. And that
because
would stay in place.
Supported.
Yeah, it works much like an arch. It would just fall straight down. In fact, you could take those posts out, and I could hang from the center of that, and it still wouldn't
do that, would you? Let's pause. This is so incredible. I'm so glad I came inside, and you were nice enough to invite me. And we had a visitor at the door right before we started, and you talked about possibly in the future this being a place you would live.
I would like to do that someday. It sure beats paying rent.
So this is the size you would live in then?
This is perfect.
This is perfect size.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think two people could live here comfortably. You'd have to adapt your lifestyle and get used to living in one common space, but it's quite cozy and quite comfortable.
Tiny houses, tiny yurts.
That's right.
This is amazing. Well, let's talk about D'Addario. We know we're going to do some streaming from here, some wonderful artists. But your position with D'Addario has come about in the last couple of years?
That's right.
All right. What is that? Talk about D'Addario, their place in the world, and then what you do there.
Yeah, well, D'Addario is the largest manufacturer of instrument strings in the world. And we make strings for almost every instrument you can imagine. Fretted instruments, bowed instruments, unusual instruments from other parts of the world, harp, arhu, some Chinese instruments. We're working on developing strings for mariachi instruments right now. So we're constantly innovating and looking for ways to expand our portfolio of products to offer musicians around the world.
And you interact with artists as a certain, do you have a certain niche within the musician, or what's your part with the strings and the musician?
Yeah, for me, primarily I work with artists to understand their needs and what they're expecting to get from the strings they put on their instruments.
Okay.
So they might be looking for a certain feel or a certain tone, and that would give me ideas about how we might adjust our string design or how to make a different type of string. So one example where that might come about is bluegrass players. And if you think back into the 60s and 70s, some of them were stringing their guitars with electric guitar strings that had the nickel-plated surface. Those types of strings are a little bit more neutral in tone than a really bright-sounding Foster Bronze or an 8020. And we realized, hey, there's actually an opportunity here. What if we were to make a nickel-plated string for bluegrass players that they could buy today and, you know, apply to their instruments? And that's where the idea for nickel bronze came from.
Gotcha.
So now folks like Chris Eldridge is a big supporter of them, Julian Lodge, and a number of other bluegrass musicians are now using those strings. So that came from being at places like Gray Fox, talking to artists, talking to people out in the jam circles, and seeing what they're talking about, finding out what their interests are, and then developing the products to make them happy.
D'Addario makes a lot of strings.
We sure do.
Yeah.
Over 750,000 per day.
Are they all still drawn?
We draw our own wire.
Yeah.
We may be the only musical instrument or musical string company that's drawing their own wire.
My vision is a plate.
Yep, it's a series of plates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we start with a material called rod. That's just a large diameter wire with brass plating to protect it from corrosion. And that runs through a wire mill. And the wire mill is a system of pulleys and plates that have progressively smaller holes. Yeah.
They're big on the outside and they're tinier where the wire comes out.
That's right. And for the core wire, the last hole might have a hex shape to it. So you could either draw a hex-shaped wire or a round-shaped wire. So we draw all of our own wire. We draw many of the different alloys that we use to wrap strings. So, again, things like Foster Bronze, 8020, silver-plated copper, nickel-plated steel. And then in our assembly area, that's where we wind the strings. So we'll tie a ball end to one end, wind the string, and build a set. We even make our own packaging, package the set, and off it goes through our distribution center to dealers across the U.S. and to distributors around the world.
Everybody knows about them. This is amazing. I'm so glad I had a chance to talk to you, Worth, about the yurt and the D'Addario and this whole concept. I also get the feeling being here that there's a bit of the vibe I get is it's take your shoes off when you come in, not just to damage the floor. Isn't there also, as I get a peaceful vibe in here, is there another thing behind the yurt and the design that maybe is not just functional, but also should, how do I, can you understand what I'm saying?
I suppose people see it, it's a beautiful structure.
Yeah.
And just the atmosphere we try to create here is one that's welcoming and that,
yeah.
that helps people relax and enjoy themselves.
That's so okay.
That's what we're aiming for.
That's what I'm getting. The decorative, the doors are painted on the inside. Is that also a traditional
Yeah, these are traditional Mongolian designs.
That's great.
There are various meanings to the different symbols. For example, you see a wheel there. I think that represents both the wheel of an ox cart as well as the wheel that you see that you see up above you. And another strange symbol that you see are these cowrie shells, and that may represent wealth, but I would have to check. I would have to check on that.
This is great, man. Anything else you want to say?
Well, no. It's great to be here at Gray Fox, and Steve, thanks for dropping by. It's a pleasure talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Thanks, Worth.
Thank you.